Turning this morning, if you have your Bibles, to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, and we want to begin reading the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father, as we come to Thee this morning, again we are thankful for this Thy Word of Truth, for the power of it in the lives of men, for the revelation that it brings to our heart, for the comfort and strength and guidance that it gives us in the midst of the difficulties of each day. We're thankful, Lord, for each family that is represented here in this place this morning, for the opportunity that's ours to fellowship together, for the love that we can have in the Lord Jesus as we seek to serve Thee and to do Thy will. We're grateful to You, Lord, for the many blessings that You've poured out upon us in past days and weeks and months and years. As we've seen this church become a reality, as we've seen Thy people grow in grace and in their knowledge of Thee, as we've seen lost souls come to the Savior. We thank You, Lord, for the many prayers that have been answered, because we've been willing to come to Thee and call upon Thee, and trust Thee to show us great and mighty things which we know not. We're thankful especially today, Lord, for the fact that You have blessed in the life of Dr. Foster, for the fact that You've raised him up in the midst of this physical difficulty, and he'll soon be back to a full measure of health and strength. We're grateful, Lord, that we can come to You with our petitions and just hold one another up before the throne of grace and know that the power of God is evident in the lives of men, if we're only willing to trust Thee for. We thank You, Lord, that each of us, no matter what our need might be this morning, can come to you, we can trust you, we can open our minds and hearts, enable you to do your work in our lives. And Father, we just pray for the grace to stand in this evil day, to be conscious of the great responsibility that's ours as thy people, to study the Word of God, to understand it, to impart it to others that they might come to a knowledge of the truth. I pray now that you'll bless us for having come together, that our minds and hearts might be opened as we lay aside the thoughts and the cares of this life, things of this world, and as we're just willing to look to Thee for the truth of Thy Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the truly amazing things about being a Christian, simply to be able to sit down and pick up the Word of God and realize that we hold in our hands the truth of God. There's no need to be confused in this dark world in which we're living, because God has the situation well under control. And not only that, He's revealed the fact that each of us may have a part in His eternal plans and purposes if we're willing to come into line with the truth of the Word of God. I recently got some new glasses, and they reminded me afresh of the great thrill of knowing the truth. I grew up without glasses, and as time passed by, my eyesight got a little worse as far as seeing things out in the distance was concerned. And since it was a gradual thing, and I could still see pretty well, I didn't realize how blind I was to certain things. It was only when I put on my new glasses that I understood what I'd been missing. I was able to see everything clearly. Now, there's a perfect analogy here with the Word of God, because this is exactly the way it is in the life of every man that's born into the Word. The Bible's favorite picture of man's condition is that of blindness, because God says that we're blind, not physically, but spiritually. Everybody here this morning can see. Most of the people in the world this morning can see. But God says that we have spiritual eye trouble. We have a distorted view of life that can only be corrected by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only when He opens our eyes, as the psalmist says, that we can behold wondrous things out of the law of God. The Bible is a book of wondrous things. But the devil is out to keep men from seeing these wondrous things, and he's in the business of blinding people. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now this is the condition of the world in which we're living today. Spiritually blind. Because the God of this world, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, that deceiveth the whole world, is in the business of deceiving. And he's blinded spiritually those who have never had their eyes opened by the Lord Jesus to the truth of the Word of God. We read again from the psalmist that this Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It takes light to see. The eyes can only function when there's light going into those eyes to illuminate the things all around. And the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's a lamp that lights our feet to show us where we're standing. You can come to the Bible and find that out. You can find out exactly where you stand from the truth of the Word of God. But it's also a light unto our path to show us where to go. Once we find out where we're standing, the path that we need to walk in, if we're going to follow the truth of God, if we're going to be obedient to His will and to His Word. Now, all these things are bound up in the facts that I'd like for us to consider this morning. Because, as I say, this world is in sad shape this morning. The vast majority of the people in it are spiritually blind, if the Word of God is true. Of course it is. And when it comes down to the important things, when it comes down to the great distinctives of life that are of great importance not only now, but throughout all the ages of eternity to come, there are so many people that can't see too clearly. They have a distorted vision. They don't understand what these great principles are all about, and it's simply because they're not looking at these principles through the great wisdom of the Word of God. If you want to see the truth, you have to view it with the eyes of God. And that's only possible when God comes into your life to take up residence. When you open your heart to the truth of the Word of God and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Now here in this 13th chapter of Hebrews, we find some principles that are of vast importance, especially in these days in which we're living. Because we as the people of God, or any who are here today who've never come to know the Lord Jesus for that matter, need to understand the great things that are set down here. The world is confused, it's distorted, and yet the truth of God is going to stand forever. These things are revealed to us in such a way that we can open our minds and hearts to them. We can receive this truth, and we can enter into the spiritual reality of what it means to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said very well that there are none so blind as those who will not see. Now, that's something to think about. Those are the truly blind people, the ones who will not see, the ones who refuse to open their eyes and behold the truth that God has set right before them in simplicity. And we see, as we begin to look into this 13th chapter of Hebrews, the writer here speaks of many things. He speaks of many subjects that relate very directly to this world in which we're living today. Broad principles that speak a great deal against the wickedness of this age, against the disobedience to the Word of God, and for the simplicity of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's hard for people to get an idea of what is going on here at this church, of what we stand for, of what we really mean to be about, because this is an unusual place. The people here are different. There's no question about that. And it's because we've come to the Word of God, we've sought to bring ourselves into line with the things that are written here. And if you find people that are in line with the Word of God, you're going to find people that are different from the people of this world. Now, the strange thing about it is that once you begin to be different, once you begin to profess to adhere to certain principles, people will say, well, you must be one of those people that think you're the only one that's right. But you know, that's not the way it is at all. But we are those people who think that God is the only one that's right. The Lord Jesus is the truth, and nobody else, and nothing else. And that narrows it down a great deal. Because that eliminates everybody and everything else in the world. And it brings us down to where our attention can focus on the Word of God. And we can understand that the principles here, regardless of what the world is saying and doing, are the truth. And no matter how the world goes, no matter what direction the church is traveling today, we're traveling by the Word of God. That's not too hard to understand, is it? And yet people begin to get all upset when they see something that turns away from the norm. Something that's not quite in line with the way things are in this world. And we see that the apostle is speaking about these things right at the very beginning of this 13th chapter of Hebrews. He says, first of all, let brotherly love continue. Now that might not seem like much of a statement, but you try putting it into practice. You try making that thing a reality day by day in your relationship to other people. We're living in a callous world, a world that's cold and hard and indifferent to the needs of people. The Lord Jesus said that in the last days, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. It's like that in this world. People are hard. People are unconcerned about one another. And we believe that the great need is to propagate brotherly love. Not upon the basis of earthly friendships, but upon the basis of a kinship that's only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can't have brotherly love with somebody unless they happen to be your brother. Not in the true sense of that word. And you see, we get to be brothers by being born into the same family. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And to enter into the truth of this brotherly love that's being spoken of here, it's necessary to be in God's family, to be a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't happen to be the member of a certain family, don't feel so strange when nobody recognizes you as a member of that family. There's a good reason behind that thing. And the same is true when it comes to this matter of being children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. To become a member of this family, we have to put our faith and trust in Him. We have to have God work a miracle in our life and enter into the truth of knowing Him and the joy of sins forgiven. Now, this is not a complicated thing, but it's something that very few people in this world have done. Jesus said, it's a straight gate and a narrow way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. And we see there that He says in the second verse, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I know this happened several instances in the Word of God. There were those who were angels, literally messengers from heaven that were sent of God, who came to this earth in the form of men and appeared to characters there in the Old Testament. They entertained these individuals, not even realizing that they were angels at all. Now, this, of course, has a very clear analogy in this dispensation in which we're living. Not to say that an angel might not drop by every now and then. I don't have any trouble believing that. But you know, it's not always evident who we're coming in contact with in our daily life as we pass through the midst of this world. The world is full of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You know them by their fruits. But by the same token, there are those in this world who can bless your life in an unusual way if they get the opportunity. And the really sad thing, the really heartbreaking thing, is the fact that people have a great tendency to shut out other people if they don't understand. If they can't understand who you are or what you stand for, or where you go to church, or the kind of life you live, they have a tendency to cut you off, to ignore you, to realize that as far as they're concerned, that you must be some type of weirdo that they don't want anything to do with. But God says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. It could just be that the very individual that seems to you to be a little strange because of his stand for the Lord Jesus, the one who seems to be a little bit weird as far as this world is concerned, might be the very one to bring you to a knowledge of the truth, to cause you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and enter into the reality of eternal life through the Son of God. He says there in the third verse, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now here again, we see something that goes back to that brotherly love that we read about there in the first verse. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now this is something else that's of vast importance, at least it should be, to the child of God, to be concerned about other people. About people who are suffering adversity, about people who are having troubles, who are in bonds, because we're still in these bodies. We're still in a condition where we could enter into this same thing. Now, if we can simply begin to look at the lives of other people who are in bondage in one sense or another as being bound with them, we might begin to get a little more sympathetic, don't you think? If we could see that somebody has a particular problem, rather than pointing the finger, rather than looking down our nose at them, if we could say, well, you know, but for the grace of God, that could be me with that problem, we might begin to understand a little more about the bondage that these people suffer. But sadly enough, the great tendency of the people of this world is to be harsh and critical, to point the finger at things of which they know absolutely nothing, and to use these things as daggers to pierce the hearts of men, to bring sorrow and heartbreak to the lives of individuals. But you know, this is not the way it is, generally speaking, among the Lord's people. There's a remembrance of what we are because of our sinful nature. A child of God is not one who's escaped sin. He's not one who's entered into perfection. He's one who's a sinner saved by grace. There's no such thing as a person in this world who's a good person. Don't you believe? I don't care who they are, where they come from, or what church they go to, or what they stand for. There's no such thing as a good person. There's one good, and that is God. That's what Jesus said. The Lord Jesus Himself is the only goodness that any man will ever know. And when the Lord Jesus comes into our hearts and lives, we enter into the truth of what it means to let Him be good through us sometimes. But we're still sinners saved by grace. We're still those who have a nature that's twisted and bent to do evil. We're still those who have a heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked that's lying within. But the great difference for the child of God is the fact that the Spirit of God has come into our life to take up residence. And He's the one who has the power to give us the victory over self, over the flesh, and to cause us to walk in the way of righteousness. We see that He speaks in verse 4 of the fact that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now this again is something that's missing from modern day Christianity. The fact that God will judge disobedience. The purity of the church. The need to maintain obedience among the Lord's people. The need to walk in righteousness according to the profession that's made in this matter of Christianity. There's a world full of people that claim to be Christians. And yet you see them all week long living for the devil. And the reason it's like that is very simply because they've never been born again, very likely. They haven't lost their salvation. They never had it to begin with. Because if they did, they'd enter into the truth of knowing what it is to give their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus. Not to practice sin, but to walk day by day in obedience to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That word conversation there is one which means manner of life. The lifestyle. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now here again, this is something that should be important truth to the child of God. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world, in the desire to get more and more and more and more, until there's no time for the truth of God. There's no time for obedient service to the Lord Jesus. There's time for only one thing, and that's to have a job. To make a living. And beloved, there's nothing that's any more of an abomination on the face of this earth than the average work day as it's carried out in our lives today. This is the very thing that's causing men to go down to hell forever. It's all in the name of taking care of their family. It's all in the name of having the good things in life. It's in the name of being prosperous and successful, but it's an abomination in the sight of God. Men need to enter into the truth of the fact that the important things are the things of eternity. Our manner of life needs to be without covetousness. We need to learn to be content with such things as we have and realize that the Lord Jesus is the one who will never leave us or forsake us. He's the one who's with us moment by moment and day by day. And He's the one who's promised to supply all our needs. The one who's told us to take no thought for what we shall eat or what we shall drink, or our body, what we shall put on, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Now, a person who understands this great principle as one who's concerned not about laying up treasures here on this earth, but about laying up treasure in heaven. And he's going to see that if he has to dig ditches in this world to get his life into the center of the will of God, he's going to do it. Now, of course, as I say, you talk like that to the average person, they'll say you're crazy as a bat. It's because the world is dead set against the truth of God. The world cannot understand what it means to be trusting the Lord Jesus to take care of them, or to be laying up treasure in heaven. They can look at the things that are here on this earth. They can see all the goodies that are available, and that's what they're after. The Bible says they that would be rich fall into a snare. Many hurtful lusts that drown men in perdition. It's a good way to go down to hell forever. Because Jesus said you can't serve God and money. You have to make your choice. The stand has to be taken one way or the other. But then we see that he says in the 7th verse, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now this again, is something that we believe in. The fact of the autonomy of the local church. The need for us to keep the government of God on a level where you can watch what's happening to it. Where you can get down there and see what's going on in the life of a man. What he's saying, what he's doing, what he's preaching, what he believes. And that's where you put a stop to the corruption. The world today is full of those who profess to be preachers of the gospel, who claim to be religionists, who are just as lost as they can be. They're not to be honored. They're not to be reverenced. They're not to be looked upon as men of God. We live in a superstitious world. The same people that are afraid to walk under a ladder or to have a black cat cross their path are afraid to say a word against a preacher. But you know, the devil's preachers are quite evident in this world in which we're living today. And we need to recognize this to be a fact. A very simple fact, but one that's going to cause a great number of people to lose their soul forever. Just because a man is the preacher of the gospel is no sign that he's God's man. He's one who has opportunity like everybody else to hear the word of God, to believe it, to put it into practice in his life, and to preach it to others. And we need to be very careful to check any man by the standards of the word of God. To ask ourselves if he's living by the word of God, if he believes these things, or if he's preaching another gospel. God says, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. The curse of God is upon preachers today. A goodly number of preachers who have failed to believe the truth of the gospel as it's set down here in the Word. But then we see, and he says there in the 8th verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, that's a wonderful statement. And it tells us something else that we need to be standing for here in this age in which we're living. The Lord Jesus never changes. There's no such thing as a changing Bible or a changing gospel or a new day as far as the church is concerned. Solomon says there's no new thing under the sun. People are just as sinful as they used to be. They need to get saved. People are just as lost as they used to be. And unless they come to know the Lord Jesus, they're going to spend eternity and the same old burning hell that was burning long ago. Now, that's not hard to understand. Yesterday, and today, and forever. He says in verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. Now here again, the world today rebels against the simplicity of this truth. And yet it's one that must be maintained if there's going to be any testimony here or in your life or mine as an individual. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's a good thing to be established with grace. Well, the world is not full of established people. You need only to look at the suicide rate to see that. You need only to understand how many pills they're popping, how many doctors they're visiting, how many psychiatrists are treating them to see that the world is not established. But it ought to be a different story when it comes to the child of God. We need to be established with grace. Now, grace is the free, undeserved, unmerited favor that God bestows upon man. We don't deserve anything. And yet, because He loved us, God was willing to save us if we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, that's the kind of stabilizing factor that you need in your life today. Something that'll settle you down. Something that'll grip you and put you in position where you can stay. The song says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the bill is rolled. A lot of truth in that. The psalmist said that the Lord Jesus had lifted him up out of the miry clay and set his feet upon a rock and established his going. That's what we need. The world is full of divers and strange doctrines, of cults and isms that know nothing of the truth of God. The world is full of radio preachers and book writers that are trying to deceive men. Are things that are contrary to the Word of God. But you know these things right here in this book are always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to understand this. We need to believe it. We need to recognize the stability that comes from this kind of a belief. We don't have to worry about the fact that someday, 2 or 3 years from now, a new theologian is going to come along and discover some new thing and we'll have to get straightened out all over again. It's always the same. These are simply divers and strange doctrines that come and go and mean absolutely nothing as far as the Word of God is concerned. We read in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now that's another blessed truth that we as the people of God need to understand. We have an altar. All down through the pages of Old Testament history, the blood of bulls and goats was sacrificed upon the altar. Men came offering these things as a type or a picture of the shedding of blood that God requires for the remission of sin. God says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And it was necessary for these people to be obedient in this fashion. To come to the altar, to the holy place, to bring the sacrifice that God demands. But you know, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. It's something special. It's something wonderful. And that altar is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need any church. We don't need any building. We don't need any physical structure. We have an altar. It's the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the holy place. We come to Him with all our needs. We come to Him with all our difficulties. And we find in Him the great sufficiency that's provided for our sins. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we don't all have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem every year to get our sins forgiven. You don't even have to get to Jerusalem one time to get your sins forgiven. You can get them forgiven right now. Because we have an altar, and it's right here. The Lord Jesus Himself. It's not this church. It's not anything about this church or about these people. But it's about this same Lord Jesus who's the same yesterday and today and forever. But then we see there in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Now here we see a blessed picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that again I say we should always keep before us in this day in which we're living. It's so easy to be carried about with divers and strange doctrines if we don't pay attention to these things. If we don't get them fixed in our minds so that we understand just where we stand and why we stand there. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Now the Lord Jesus was always an outsider. And that's exactly what you'll be if you're a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus who's faithful to Him. You'll be an outsider as far as the people of this world are concerned. Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. He said, if they hated me, you can know they'll hate you. He said, if they believe my saying, you'll know they believe yours. The Lord Jesus was outside at His birth. There was no room for Him in the inn. He was outside in His personal life. He was separated from the general run of society, from the great flow of intellectualism. The intelligentsia of His day knew nothing of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He was outside in His ministry. The vast majority of the people wanted nothing to do with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They get together every now and then, take up stones to cast at Him, try to cast Him off the brow of a hill, put Him to death. But this was the type of thing that was the result of the wickedness that's in the heart of man. The fact that man is in rebellion against the truth. It's the same way today. People today cannot understand somebody who has the liberty that's to be found in Christ Jesus. People cannot understand a man whose headquarters is in heaven. They just don't understand that. If his headquarters is not denominational headquarters, he must be a weirdo. If he hadn't come into line with the program, if he hadn't gotten together with the committees, he must be kind of strange. He must be an outsider. And so he is. Just like the Lord Jesus. He was outside also in His death. We read it here. He suffered without the gate. They took Him outside the city walls of Jerusalem to the hillside of Calvary. And they crucified Him there. He was outside in His burial. Right out there in the garden tomb, He was laid for 3 days and three nights. And so we see that this is the principle that God is trying to get across to us. The person of the Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who suffered without the gate is the rallying point of everything. Now the call certainly is not to Calvary Memorial Church. That's not where God is calling everybody today. The call is certainly not to any denomination. You won't find one of those in the Word of God or anything like it. But the call is simply to the Lord Jesus. Go forth unto Him. He's the one. Because you see, God has highly exalted Him. and given him a name which is above every name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now this is why we come to Him. This is why we go forth to the Lord Jesus. Because to whom else can we go? He has the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now if you enter into the reality of that truth, you can understand that there's no place else to go. Simply to the Lord Jesus. Wherever He is, whatever He says, doing whatever He wants done. Now this is what God expects of those who know Him. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him, without the camp, bearing His reproach. So you see, we're not only to be separated unto a person, the Lord Jesus, we're to be separated to a place. He says, wherefore, Jesus also suffered. Let us therefore go forth unto Him without the camp. The wherefore leads to therefore. Because of the price of blood that He's paid, because of His willingness to die for us, because of the fact that He's purchased our pardon on Calvary's cross, therefore, let us go forth unto Him without the camp. It's a very definite place. Because you see, in the beginning, God separated the light from the darkness. And He's been trying to do that ever since. Not only physically, but morally, spiritually. This is the work of God, separating the light from the darkness. As you know, many of the Lord's people still are not able to bring themselves to enter into the reality of this truth. The world today is caught up in apostasy, the forsaking of what they've hitherto professed or adhered to. The church today as a whole has turned away from the truth of God. We need to remember that. We need to realize that we have an understanding of what God says here in His Word. And we have an opportunity to receive it or reject it in the light of the world around us today. Now I'll tell you something from experience. If you take a stand without the camp of organized religion, you're going to bear His reproach. There's no doubt about that. Because here again, people cannot understand it. People cannot see why it should be necessary to take a stand outside the camp. But it's necessary for one simple reason. Because God says to do it. That's a good enough reason to do anything, isn't it? Because God says to do it. And this is exactly what needs to be done in the life of the Lord's people today. I wouldn't say for one minute, although many people accuse me of it, that there are no good churches today apart from Calvary Memorial. That there are no saved people in these great denominations of our land. I'll guarantee you there are many saved people in there. And that's the sad truth. That's the sad fact of the matter. There are many saved people in the Presbyterian Church. There are many saved people in the Baptist Church. There are some saved people in the Lutheran Church and the Episcopal Church. And you could go right down the line, naming many others. But you know, these are disobedient saved people. These are people who will not believe the Word of God in its simplicity. These are people who have never entered into the reality of going forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Now you tell me why a man who's a child of God would support error. You tell me why a Methodist who knows the Lord Jesus would support the wickedness that's going on in the hierarchy of the Methodist Church today. The money that's going to communism. The rebellion that's going on in this country against the truth. Situation ethics, immorality, homosexuality. Why would these individuals who know the Lord Jesus support these things in the Methodist Church, in the United Church of Christ, in the Southern Baptist Convention to a certain extent, in the Lutheran Church? And again, we could go right down the line. Now you tell me why a child of God would support those things. It's because he's not willing to pay the price of separation. He's not willing to take a stand for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ alone. Now, I'll tell you what I'd do if I happened to be in a situation like that, where I could see that I was supporting seminaries that were turning out devils, where I could see that I had a preacher that was not preaching the gospel, where I could see that I had a denomination that was giving thousands and thousands of dollars to the World and National Council of Churches, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd leave. And I'd go find me a place where people believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I couldn't find a place like that, I'd start me one. Now, you might not be able to preach the Word of God, but you can read the Bible. And you can see right in here the simple principles of obedience to the truth. We need to be separated to a person. We need to be separated to this principle of obedience. We need to be separated to this place outside the camp bearing His reproach. Now the world, of course, again, like in all these other instances, as a whole, we'll never understand this. You might not understand it exactly this morning. But I don't see why not. If God says to do something, why won't a man do it? Simply because he refuses to be obedient to God. That's all. There is no excuse for doing evil that good may come. There's no excuse for staying in a church or a denomination in order to try to get people saved. That's doing evil that good may come. And you know what Paul said about that? He said there are those who say, let us do evil that good may come, that their damnation is just. Now that's hard language. But it's right here in the Word of God. It's set forth right there, talking about people who do a right thing in a wrong way, that their damnation would be just. I didn't say that. That's not my idea. That's the Word of God. Because you see, God believes very strongly in the fact that He can handle the situation. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anybody. But we need Him. We need to be obedient to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that's so important. Another principle that we need to remember as the Lord's people. Our home is not here upon this earth. It's in heaven. And the things of this world are simply passing. They're going to be gone one day. One day, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Everything that you owned here on this earth, that nice car that you drive, that pretty house that you've got, that new carpet that you just put down, even the very elements of those things are going to melt with a fervent heat. Now, seeing that we believe these things, that is, if we do, what manner of persons ought we to be? We ought to be those who are obedient to the Word of God. Those who are living out our lives in service to the Lord Jesus. Now, if you have no continuing city here in this world, and you're seeking one to come this morning, what's the matter with you? Why don't you and I live like it, if this thing is the truth? Why don't we enter into the reality of day by day, setting our affection on eternal things and not on the things of this world? We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, if we're ever going to be blessed of God as individuals, as a church, it's going to be because we take these simple principles of the Bible and we make practical application of them in our daily life. We get right down to the burlap of these things. We say, now what is that saying to my heart and to my life? We need to put on the spectacles of the Word of God so that we can see all things clearly, so that we can have some discernment, so that we can understand what life is all about. And when we understand it, we need to do something about it. Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? A lot of the Lord's people walking around like that today. The light is in them, but it's darkness. Now, that seems strange, doesn't it? How could light be darkness, or darkness be light? I don't know. But he says, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You can have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and not be obedient to the Word of God. Not be walking day by day, humbly submitting yourself to the truth of this Word. Now you know there's many people in this world who are lost and without hope. There are many Christians today who are distraught and discouraged, who can't understand why things are the way they are. But all the trouble, every problem, comes from the fact that man is in rebellion against God. He just simply will not do what God says to do. Now, you've got to start somewhere. And the best place to start is by doing what God says. Whether you're talking about getting saved, whether you're talking about letting brotherly love continue, whether you're talking about remembering them that are in bonds, whether you're talking about coming out of apostate denominations and taking a stand for the Lord Jesus, doesn't matter what you're talking about. The very simple truth, the very easy place to start is right with the thing in front of your eyeballs, to begin to do what God tells you to do right here in the book. Now, people would follow that principle. We'd soon see some transformed lives. We'd see that each of us was coming into a closer walk with the Lord Jesus. We'd find that day by day, our life was transformed. Now, if you believe this is the Word of God, you ought to come back here tonight at 7:30. Some of you won't. Why not? Because you've got something else to do? Because there's something else more important than the fact that we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I realize that there are legitimate reasons when you can't come to church sometimes. But I also realize that the devil is out to keep you away from as many services as possible. You say, well, where do I start to live the Christian life? How do I begin to understand what's the matter with me and why I'm so messed up, what my problems are? Start right there. Start at 7:30 tonight. That's a good place. And then continue on Wednesday night. And then continue on Friday night. And then continue again on Sunday morning. That's not hard to understand, is it? If we can bring our lives into the simple reality of separating ourselves to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to know Him as our Savior, then separating ourselves to a principle, the principle of obedience, being willing to walk in the way of righteousness, and then separating ourselves to a place wherever we can find fellowship with the Lord's people and with the Lord Jesus unhindered by the problems and the people of this world, then we're going to see something begin to happen. Then we're going to come to an understanding of the truth of God. Then we're going to be able to see all things clearly. But remember, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, as we have looked into Thy Word today, we're thankful that we know of a surety that is forever settled in heaven. We need not fear what man would say or do, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we just pray that each of us might be willing to pay the price that's necessary, that we might evaluate our lives in the light of eternity, that we might see how we stand in the course of the affairs of men, and that we might realize that we need these principles that we've been talking about this morning. We need to be separated to a person, the Lord Jesus, to a principle, the principle of obedience, and to a place of fellowship with the Lord's people and the study of the Word of God. And we're just asking You, Lord, to speak to our hearts today that we might understand this need, how deep it is, how important it is in the light of eternity. Father, we pray that should there be one here this morning who's still outside the Lord Jesus, that they might see that He, to save us, with His own precious blood, suffered without the gate. That we need to go forth unto Him and call upon Him to save us and to give us eternal life. And then to enter into the reality of following Him day by day. We pray these things in His precious name. Amen.